Hey everybody, it's Mike. Welcome or welcome back to the Revision Church Podcast. While you're here, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Revision app, which is actually the best way to get access to new content and share it with friends. You can get the app by texting Revision app to 77977. Thanks for listening today. My hope is that this message will be helpful for you and would inspire you to take the next step on your faith journey. I love the opportunity that we have, not just to like be a part of people standing up in the public square and declaring that their lives and futures belong to Jesus, but also to just hear their stories, each unique way that God has been working in their lives. It's an absolute gift to hear all these stories. And first service, man, if you weren't here for that, I encourage you to go back and listen to the stories from that service. There were six of them, and there's a story after story after story of people who grew up in Christian homes, and they got to their teens or 20s and started running another direction, and God chased them down. Like, every story is so much better than any sermon I could ever stand up here and preach. That's why we do baptisms in our services on Sunday mornings, so we can get not just like the inspiration, but the transformation that comes from hearing what God has done and is doing in the lives of the people around us. I love it. It's incredible. And I want everyone in here actually to walk out this morning knowing something. Your story is powerful too. Your story can change the world. I think it's easy, especially if you've spent a whole lot of time in or around the church, to believe that if you're actually going to make a big difference for God, you got to like do what I do and get into some sort of vocational ministry. But nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, I think you are better positioned to make a difference for God than I am on a day-to-day basis. You guys crash into people in the spaces you occupy, in your workplaces, your neighborhoods, and your schools that all never meet. You have the opportunity to have conversations with folks who might even be nervous to talk to me because I'm a pastor, but they'll open up to you and they'll listen to what you have to say, which creates space for you to share the story with them of who God is and who he and what God has done in your life. And if you do that, as you do that, people crash into Jesus. You know, we're in the middle of a series right now called Revision, where we're talking about the mission, vision, and values of Revision Church. And one of our core values, you can find it on the wall out there, is that found people find people. We believe that every single one of us was completely lost and hopeless in our sin, and Jesus in his love stepped out of eternity into the human story and chased us down. And because we've been found, we're now invited into what he's doing to go out and find other lost people. Like, when our hearts and our lives and our souls have been captivated by the love of a God who gave his life so we could be forgiven and set free, something inside us compels us to go and share it. And again, there's an opportunity there. Every place you go, every time you go there, and every person you crash into, to make a difference. And for you guys to make an impact that I could never make, and it's always been that way. Like, the history of the church, if we read back to the very, very beginning, the early church in Acts 2, there are 40 miracles recorded in the book of Acts. 39 of them happened in the marketplace, and only one happened in the church. That number is beyond explaining as an anomaly, and what it means is that you guys are in an incredible place with an incredible opportunity to see the outpouring of the Spirit of God every single week of your lives. And the only question is whether you'll seize that opportunity, whether you'll be found people that find people, because I promise if you're willing to tell your story and God's story to the people around you, it'll change the world. One of my favorite examples of this phenomenon, of this reality, comes from Luke chapter 8. It's a story about Jesus and his disciples. And starting in verse 26, we read this. It says, "They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me!' For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places." Okay, so this guy is running around in the wilderness as a violent, hopeless outcast. He's a nude dude in a rude mood. That's what it says in the Bible, right?
That's his life. And then Jesus meets him and he drives the demons out of this guy. And his life is so transformed. He's so floored by what Jesus did for him that he actually asks if he can go with Jesus. He's like, man, can I join you in the disciples? Can I hop in the boat next time you get in it and go do what you do? And Jesus responds to him in verse 39. And it's this profound response that I think every single one of us needs to understand this morning. Jesus looks at this guy who said, can I come with you? And says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. And so the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus looks at this guy and says, I know you want to make a difference. I know you're so compelled by what I did for you that you got to tell everybody around you about my love. But the biggest difference you could make isn't to do what I called Peter to do or what I called John to do. It's to do what only you can do. And you are uniquely placed to go back home to your town and tell people about what just happened. And tell all the people in this village who have only ever known you as a nude dude in a rude mood how I transformed your life. And so this guy catches a vision of how God wants to use him. And he goes home and he starts telling people, this is who Jesus is, this is who Jesus is, this is who Jesus is. And believe it, this guy rewrote the future of the world. He rerouted eternity for a whole bunch of people who were desperate to meet Jesus just by doing the thing that only he can do and going to the place that he was from and sharing Jesus with the people his life crashed into. He was found, and so he had this compulsion inside of him to go find other people. And my question this morning is, what if you were compelled? What if I was compelled? What if this church was compelled to go find lost people the way that Jesus found us? What if you really believed you didn't deserve what Jesus did when he died on the cross for you? And you believe that eternity is on the line for the people around you? What if you really believed your story could make a difference? It's easy to think that it can't, right? To tell ourselves it wouldn't really matter and it wouldn't make an impact and nobody would listen to me and my story's not even that good anyway, so it just doesn't make a difference whether I tell it or not. But the truth is that people across this planet sharing the story of who Jesus is and what he's done for them is making a difference every single day. People like Shikama, check out her story. Your story plus God's story can write a better story for people with a broken story. And I know if you're anything like me, you find yourself sitting here in America making a list of excuses. Like, I can't invite somebody to church with me. They might say no, and then it would get awkward. And I'm not proud to admit that in my life, that's usually a good enough excuse not to do it. And you look at Shikama. I'm blind. I can't read. I can't write. I've been in jail. I got to walk from village to village while blind. There's a good chance I might be physically harmed or even killed for this. All of those are parts of Shikama's reality, and yet none of them have ended up in her excuse pile. Because she gets it. She understands who God is and what God did for her, and she knows that helping people crash into Jesus is what matters most in the world. And so she's going. And you guys, I believe we have an incredible opportunity. An incredible opportunity, not just to get inspiration from people like Shikama and reach out to the people around us, to occupy the unique spaces we occupy and the unique relationships with people we crash into and share with them who God is and what he means to us. But we also have an opportunity as a church to help people like Shikama do that all over the world. Next week, we're receiving a special offering for the Timothy Initiative. It's a global church planting movement that is bringing the gospel to places where it has never been before. And there are tens of thousands of men and women, just like you guys, fishermen and farmers, construction workers, business people, mothers, who are waiting to plant churches in places where Jesus is virtually unknown and all they need is the funding. In fact, the Timothy Initiative is so serious about this that they've mapped every single village in India and Nepal. It's over 750,000 villages, and they now know which villages have a church, which villages have Christians but no church, and which villages have no church. And their goal by 2030 is to put a church in every village. They're going to have to plant over 375,000 churches in the next 8 years. And it seems crazy to even think about doing that, but they have a plan to do it and they need global partners to help fund this plan. And I actually want to introduce you guys this morning to a guy who's on the front lines of that. He's leading the charge. But before I show you his video live stream, you're going to get a really bad angle and not see this video, and you're also going to go mute. We'll be back with you in a minute. But this is a guy who we'd rather just not put on the internet. He's a wanted man. And he's about to talk strategy in his country, and what he's saying is absolutely illegal for him to do, but I want you to know who he is and I want you to see his face. So live stream, we'll be back with you in a minute. Check out this story. Welcome back, live stream. And everybody, it costs $300 for these guys to plant one church. They're that efficient. They can do it for $300. They can take the gospel all over the world. And like the guy we just saw in the video, man, he's willing to risk his life to do it. He was at a gathering a couple months ago that had over 1,000 leaders at it. 1,000 people who were ready to plant churches. And somebody watched him as the point leader. And they're like, man, are you excited that you got this many leaders together? And he said, no. He said, no, I am not excited. How can I be excited when 98% of my people have never heard about the love of Jesus and 98% of our villages do not have a church? I will be excited when there's a church in every village. But to put a church in every village in Nepal will cost us our blood. And tonight I have to walk in there and tell those church planters that. But here's what I know. To put a church in every village in Nepal will cost us our blood and we are ready to spill it. I don't know what the chances that that guy in that video we just watched dies of old age are, but I know they're significantly worse than the chances that I do or you do or anyone in this room. And he knows that too, but he's just going forward because he's so compelled by the love of Jesus. And so many people around the world are so compelled by the love of a God that would like step out of eternity into the human story, that would watch us reject him and run away and then refuse to leave us there and just come chasing after us anyway. They're so compelled by that that they've decided what matters most in this world is people crashing into Jesus, and they're willing to give their lives to make it happen. And they're just sharing their story and God's story and seeing what God does. And I want to encourage you guys to do the same. Like, we just sat here and heard how powerful stories are. Again and again and again, we heard stories of what like God is doing in people's lives to transform them and make them new. We heard at first service too, 15 stories today of what God's doing. And your story can make an impact too. And so I got a couple challenges for you this morning. Number one, would you be found people who go find people? In light of all that Jesus has done for you, I dare you this week to share them with one person. So just share your story. And it doesn't have to be a great story or a dramatic story. I think some of us hesitate to share our story because we're like, I just have a really boring testimony. Well, listen, you don't have to be a new dude in a rude mood to make a difference. Please don't try to become one. Please don't be like, maybe if I went and did that for a little while, I could have a better. Just don't. You don't have to do it. You don't have to be a blind girl in India either. You just have to be you because you are the person that people in your life will listen to. And if you don't ever tell them, nothing will change in a world where every single one of us desperately knows things have to change. And so I want to invite you, number one, to just share your story with somebody this week. And number two, I want to invite you to pray about whether and how God might want to use you to help church planters from around the world go share theirs with people who've never, not just heard their stories, but have never heard the story of Jesus before. And as you pray, if you're like, man, I can do one church above and beyond everything else I'm given, I think I can, $300, I can claim a church. That's awesome. If you can do more than one, if you can do 2 churches or 10 churches, that's awesome. If you can do a tenth of a church and bring $30, that's why we're doing this together, but I believe we can do 75. That's my goal, 75 churches. So next week, we're going to receive this offering. Would you pray this week about how God might be wanting you to partner with all these men and women like Shikama around the world who are trying to plant churches in places where there are no churches and who are suffering for that? And then would you step out this week and share them in Des Moines? Because if we do that, as we do that, I believe the world will change 1 inch at a time, 1 life at a time. Because that's what Jesus does and that's who he is. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you that we're raised to life. Lord, we know we're going to die one day. But thank you for the promise of resurrection. Lord, would you just inspire us to walk out into a place where people are lost and people are hurting into a world that's absolutely shattered and broken. And just point people toward the good news that you're a God who will not leave them in that broken space, who refuse to do that. Lord, work in and through us to make a difference with the few breaths we have on this planet so that we can point people toward your love. Because for us, for me, your love changed everything. And I want other people to have that gift. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.